Misquoted Bible Passages, Christian Hymnody, Confessional Lutheranism, Christianity and Culture. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. The various religions of the world have different ways of approaching this problem. Some of them deny that the problem exists. Think about the Buddhist who says, look, we have what we believe to be human suffering in the world. It is an illusion. But in order to dispel that illusion, we need to understand why it exists. It exists because man has desire. And if man can eliminate desire, he can eliminate the illusion of suffering and ultimately realize that he himself is simply part of the great universal one. That's one way of approaching human suffering, ultimately to deny that it and even that you exist as an individual. There are others, religions, that embrace it. They embrace it by way of God's justice. If one suffers, he is simply getting from God what one deserves. So if you suffer, whether you like it or not, God is being just with you. He's simply being fair. What is Christianity's approach to suffering? How is Christianity any different than those who would either deny that suffering exists or those who would say, well, suffering's easy. The math is easy. If you suffer, God is simply being fair. He's punishing you for what you've done, whether you know what that thing is or not. Joining us to talk about Christianity and suffering, Dr. Andrea Pitkus. She's a lay member of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and she's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Problem of Pain. Dr. Pitkus, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
What does the world not understand about human suffering?
Well, everyone perceives suffering as something that's bad. It's in our own human nature to flee from things that are cause us pain, suffering, or what we perceive as something that's bad in life. And really, that's not the case from the way that God has created us in the world and to interact with each other. That often suffering, pain, or things that are perceived as such are for our own good. God uses it to help us learn. Maybe it's learning patience or how to help our neighbor better. There's so many things that God uses in our lives for good and also strengthening us, letting us know how much more we're dependent on Christ, that things that we think are in our control are totally out of our control. You know, sometimes it might be something that happens to people that's something in nature with weather. I mean, this year, a number of people I know, they've had a lot of bad things that have happened in their lives, that pain and suffering has resulted, whether it's death of family and friends. Some people have lost their homes and house fires. These are just a sampling. There's just so many different things that have happened to people cause pain and suffering. But it's understanding the world's perspective versus the Christian perspective.
I think all Christians would agree, well, there's some relationship between suffering and sin. Although, well, let's just take an example. When huge catastrophes strike, say, a country, we'll sometimes hear a Christian preacher come out and say, well, I can tell you why this happened. It's because they're a sinful people. Or when a catastrophe or tragedy strikes the United States, God is warning us, God is punishing us for our corporate sin on this, that, or the other thing. What's the real relationship between suffering and sin?
Right. So there are things that happen in the world. And, you know, some of the things like natural disasters and things related to weather, other suffering is caused by sickness. And I think one of the things that's often misunderstood is that all this is caused by sin. It started when Adam and Eve didn't trust God in the garden and doubted his promise. And, you know, then there's the promise of enmity that was promised. And ever since that point, sin has been in the world. And so people don't live as long as they used to. From biblical times, there's a lot related to sin that's in our lives that have just come down through the generations. Also sickness. Most people don't understand that it's something that's also related to sin, because everything was good before the fall. Everything was perfect in the world. But, you know, there's no fear because we have Christ that has overcome sin. And I'll get more to that in a moment. But this whole thing that certain things happen to certain people, certain countries, as you alluded to, or certain people. I know one question a lot of people ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, if you look at it, the people that we see in funeral homes, the people that we see in hospitals or undergoing these disasters, is it happening only to bad people, or is it only happening to good people? And the reality is that no, suffering, pain, these things that happen, they happen to everybody. Nobody is immune from it. Do pastors and church workers, are they immune from it because they're in a vocation that's a little bit different than maybe those of us who are lay people? No, it happens to everyone. Everybody gets sick. Everybody dies. It's the reality. And I think there's just this misunderstanding by folks in the world that they want to believe or try to understand this in a little bit different way.
A lot of religions, not all religions, but many of them seem to focus on, in some way or another, eliminating suffering. Probably the prime example is Buddhism, which its entire premise is to eliminate human suffering by eliminating human desire and eliminating the illusion that we are individuals. And many people think that should be the premise and the purpose of Christianity as well, to eliminate suffering, either personal or corporate suffering. How do you respond to that?
That's actually a really good question. Again, our human nature is to flee from suffering. And so it's no wonder that Buddhism and some of these other religions try to flee from it or ignore it or try to, almost in a way I want to say, almost wish or think it away. Sometimes, you know, meditation and different things, you try to escape the reality of the world. And there's a lot of different practices that people try to do. It's something that we don't have control over. If I could, I wish I would calm all the storms in life so that we would have a more peaceful world. I haven't found people who can stop tornadoes or these awful things that happen or predict. You know, we've been hearing about earthquakes and other calamities. I mean, we're talking a lot about the things in the world that are a lot of times weather-related or physical-related, but, you know, preventing things that are accidents. You try as much as you can, but there's so much under your control. You cannot control other people. You can't control. So as much as you try, I think, and the harder you try, you're just going to have despair because there's nothing we can individually do to prevent some of these things that are totally outside of our control. Yet at the same time, you know, from a Christian perspective, we can take great comfort in that Christ has overcome a lot of these things. And it may be something that's painful or we have suffering in our life and we don't like feeling that way. It's our human nature. And we don't flee to try to take on suffering. We don't flee to try to take on pain. We flee from it. That's our human nature. But yet when we are found in these situations where it's ourselves, a loved one, a friend, a colleague, we can strengthen ourselves in Scripture and know that Christ has overcome it, and that even though it's bad for a time, Christ will give us the strength to get through things. He uses it for our own good. It may not be evident to us. A lot of times we're trying to explain things away, like, how can this happen? It may be totally blow our mind and have no comprehension of how such things can happen and think through things. But in hindsight, when we get through such trials and tribulations in life, there's often learning. Maybe you've been taught more patience. Maybe you've been brought closer into the church because you know how dependent you are on God and how you can't take control over these things and you can't fix the pain yourself, that you're looking for something outside of yourself, which is Christ, who has overcome death and pain and suffering and, you know, promises us eternal life as Christians, and clinging to that hope to help us get through these situations and circumstances. Maybe it's also Christ is having us deal with these things as Christians or non-Christians to be able to help our neighbor. Maybe we have another friend or family member who will endure a similar circumstance later the next year in life. And then we are able to help them and be there for them and help our neighbor. There's so many different ways that God uses us in our lives, and it's never the same for the same person. Each circumstance is different and unique, but with the hope that we have in Christ, we can endure whatever we have. And sometimes some of these sufferings and trials and pain that we endure are not just short-term, but maybe longer-term. With some of these things, we talk about disasters where, you know, people have to rebuild their lives from scratch, or the loss of a loved one is something that's typically a long-term when they're off, when they're no longer on the face of this earth. Or sometimes it's something dealing with an illness or sickness, that some of these pains and sufferings are more longer-term chronic things to deal with on a longer-term basis. But Christ will provide for us, and we should have no doubt in that.
There's a tension there. Let's talk about it a little bit. The tension is, and I think it just flows from a misunderstanding that many Christians and non-Christians entertain when they hear Christians say, well, God works everything together for good for those who love God. And we don't say that when things are going great. We say that when things are going bad, when there is some form of human suffering. A lot of people hear that as though Christians are denying the reality of suffering. That, well, this seems like it's bad, but it's actually good. And the problem is you just can't see how good it is. That's a difficult case to make with someone who's got terminal cancer. Well, this seems bad, but you're just misreading the situation. It actually is good. What is Paul really saying when he assures us that God works all things together for good?
Well, that's another good question. You know, for the person having cancer, it may never seem like it's good, and it may never seem that going through such a situation has any goodness or benefit. But yet, you know, at the same time, like I said before, if we don't understand why, it may not be for the person suffering. It may not be evident to them. They may live their life on earth. The cancer may take their life. And then whether they end up in heaven or hell, depending on their faith, is something that's totally in control of God. But it may be something where, hey, there's a light bulb that goes off with those around them that, hey, there's an opportunity for folks to, if they've left the church, to come back or to also benefit from such situations. But, you know, there's a lot that even Paul endured in Scripture. And a lot of the process of going through a suffering or pain, it also provides peaceful fruit of righteousness, because Christians know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And so the hope that we have is what Christ has given to us and shares with us in his word. And, you know, a lot of the suffering is nothing new per se, in the sense of this just started happening recently in our lives, but it's something that folks have been enduring for generations. And also, the other comfort is that since Christ took on sin and himself suffered all the pain in the world, that, you know, we're not supposed to be ashamed in suffering, but we rejoice in it, because we know that eventually that Christ will restore Christians and deliver them from all the eternal pain and suffering that they have on earth into paradise, and where there's no pain or suffering, that Christ has made everything anew. And it's something that I don't think we can even perceive here on earth, what that foretaste of paradise is. And the other thing is, you know, sometimes the situations we're put in from a suffering perspective is something that, like I said, it might benefit those around us or put us in situations that normally we wouldn't be in. So again, God can use us in our situation, but also those around us to help us in those types of situations endure the suffering and pain as we go forward in life.
Dr. Andrea Pitkus is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and suffering on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 2nd. She's lay member of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She's also author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Problem of Pain. When we come back, can the Christian in fact say of their suffering, look, I'm not going to lie, this is bad. I don't see an upside to this, but I do know, because of God's promise, that he both can and will bring good out of this suffering. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The dangers inherent in particularly Lutheran Reformation Christians trying to be Baptists in their worship approach.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Just at the moment, a lot of people, Baptists and evangelicals included, are looking for more substance in their worship life. Many of them are looking to helpful liturgies and the hymns of the church to bring content to their services. Lutherans are throwing that stuff off the deck of the boat as fast as they can do it. So there'll be some comments, some discussion about why that's a dangerous avenue for Lutherans to take.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case against Lutherans imitating evangelicals June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about Christianity and suffering. Dr. Andrea Pitkus is our guest, author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Problem of Pain. Based upon what you said before the break, Dr. Pitkus, can the Christian then say, look, of my suffering, this is bad. I'm just going to call it what it is. This is bad. I do not see an upside to the suffering that I am enduring. But I know on the basis of God's promise that he both can and will bring about my good from this suffering.
Exactly. A lot of this doesn't make sense to us, and especially if we're feeling pain and suffering, and there are bad things that happen. I'm not discounting any of that. You're entirely correct that things happen to people in life that nobody can imagine or should not have to endure, especially according to our world. You know, everything should be rosy and happy, but that's not the reality of the life we live. Things happen, but a lot of it doesn't make sense to us, especially at the time we're encountering such situations. It doesn't make sense for the Christian sometimes. It doesn't make sense for the non-Christian or those that are around us. And I think that's part of, you know, we're trying to make sense of things. Why did this happen, and why do I have to endure that? But perhaps sometimes just not asking the question and having faith that God is going to carry you through the situation, keep you and protect you and provide what you need. And then when you come, like I said, if you come out after such event, maybe it's years later, that sometimes it dawns on us that, hey, that situation, I learned so many different things. That pause in the everyday happenings of my life caused me to realize X, Y, and Z, or as bad as the situation I was in, I have endured, I've made it. It can be encouragement for our neighbor if they're going through something similar. The other thing, too, is some of these pauses in these situations that cause us to pause from the busyness of everyday life also make us realize all the blessings that God provides us, that even though something looks bad to us, it could be much worse. We could be living in a world without Christ and not have that promise of eternal life and that hope that's within us, that once we die, that, you know, there are some people that believe that as soon as you die, that's it, your life on earth and heaven is over. And as Christians, we do have the hope that there's even more better things to come. And going through such bad situations, too, we don't know what life has in store for us and how many years we're going to live, what types of situations and blessings and interactions with people that we're going to have, that there's hope that, you know, there's many more blessings that we're going to encounter in life as well. So even though it may seem bleak at the current time, that there are definitely opportunities for better things to occur. And getting through some of the trials and tribulations in life allows us to also appreciate things even more, I think, and not take so many things for granted as our human nature tends to do.
Finally, then, you have mentioned this several times in the course of our conversation, and that is the key to a Christian's understanding and in many ways, as you said, even rejoicing in suffering, is knowing what Scripture clearly teaches about Christ's suffering and how through that he has overcome the source of our suffering, our sin, that he has embraced suffering for the whole world. Talk about that with about a minute here, if you would, Andrea.
Sure. That's one thing that brings a lot of people comfort, and especially because it's outside of us. It's something that we don't have control over, and from a suffering that Christ has conquered everything, including death. He's resurrected, and no matter what we endure in life, that he took upon all of our sins. So the worst of the worst, if you will, and overcame that. And that should give us comfort and hope that Christ did this for us out of his great love for us, and that nothing separates us from that and what he can overcome. And so his promises are true. Cling to those promises as we go through life. It's not going to always be easy, but he's promised there for Christians who have faith in him. Going through life, he's there by our side, and then also in eternal life.
Dr. Andrea Pitkus is a lay member of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and she's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Problem of Pain. Dr. Pitkus, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about the discovery of 11 burial boxes in Jerusalem with Dr. Andrew Steinman, Distinguished Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois; Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana; Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana; Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.